Magandang umaga po muli sa lahat. This is going to be my last Sunday before my break. So magandang mapag-usapan natin ang isa sa pinakahaligi ng ating paniniwalang Kristiyano. At pinag-aaralan natin sa buwan na ito ang dalawang sagisag ng ating pananampalataya na kumakatawan sa ating kasaysayan at sa ating doktrina, ang krus ng ating Panginoon, the bloody cross, and the burial site here represents the empty tomb of Jesus. So we have approached this subject by way of facts and meaning, sapagkat ang usapin dito ay kasaysayan, history, and theology. Our theology will be meaningless unless it is based upon real history. Walang katotohanan ang ating pinaniniwalaan kung hindi siya nakabatay sa talagang nangyari, talagang kasaysayan. Ngunit ang nangyari ay walang kahulugan kung hindi natin maunawaan. So the facts and the meaning represent all that we stand upon as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Itong dalawang pangyayaring ito ay dinefine ni Apostol Pablo in 1 Corinthians 15 as constituting the gospel. Walang ebanghelyo maliban na ito ay dumugtong sa kamatayan at pagkabuhay na muli ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo. Lagi ko na lang inuulit-ulit, hindi sapat na maniwala kay Jesus na tagapaghimala, tagapagturo, taong moral, o ano paman, o kahit pa paniwalaan mo siyang Diyos. Kung hindi ka lalapit kay Hesukristo sa dalawang katotohanan na ito, hindi ito ebanghelyo. So we are here emphasizing the facts that death and resurrection constitute the saving gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So having done with facts and meaning of the cross, and last week we considered the facts of the resurrection, tingnan natin ngayon ang meaning, ang kahulugan ng resurrection. Dalawang bagay na kahulugan ang tingnan natin. Una, ang tinatawag na the apologetic significance of the cross, and then the significance of the cross to the Christian life. Now, ipaliwanag ko muna, pag sinabi nating apologetic significance, hindi po yan apologizing for Christianity. Apologetics is the Christian theology of defending the Christian faith. Ito ay pagtatanggol sa pananampalatayang Kristiyano. At sa pagsabi natin na ang resurrection ni Kristo ay may apologetic significance, sinasabi natin ito ang isang matibay na pruweba, pagpapatunay ng paniniwalang Kristiyano. Ito ay sinabi mismo ni Apostol Pablo nang kausap niya ang mga pilosopo ng Athens. When he went to Athens, remember when he had an encounter with philosophers, described by Luke as being Stoics and Epicureans. So may iba-iba silang pananaw. Ngunit nang nangaral na si Pablo, dumating siya sa punto na lahat ay tinatawag na magsisi. God commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30. And then he follows this up with his words in verse 31, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. So take note of those words, furnished proof. Nagbigay ng katunayan, katibayan, para itong sa ginawa natin nung nakarang linggo, nagpipresenta tayo ng mga ebidensya sa korte na talagang nabuhay muli si Jesus. Ito ang isang presentasyon ng pinakamatibay na ebidensya ng pananampalatayang Kristiyano ay sapagkat nabuhay si Jesus mula sa mga patay. If Jesus was crucified and yet remained dead, he would just be another of those historic figures like Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius. He may still be considered great, but not Savior, not Lord. Just another great founder of a religion, nothing else. But the fact is, unlike Buddha and Muhammad, Jesus rose from the dead. Nabuhay siya mula sa mga patay. At sinabi ni Pablo, ito ang katunayan. Hindi siya natakot, hindi siya nangimi na gamitin ito bilang patunay sa mga intellectuals ng Athens, the philosophers of Athens. He was not in any way he did not in any way cringe from the intellectuals of his day by showing proof of the resurrection. And then furthermore, so Romans 1 verse 4, he is declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So again, sinasabi niya, Jesus is proven to be what he claims to be because of the resurrection. He claimed to be the Son of God. Now he is proven to be the Son of God. Now, liliwanagin ko lang, may mga heresy na umusbong mula riyan na nagsasabing si Jesus ay naging anak ng Diyos nang siya ay mabuhay mula sa mga patay. That is incorrect. In fact, it is definitely wrong. He did not become Son of God when he was risen from the dead. He was declared, in other words, publicly demonstrated to be the Son of God. Before the resurrection, believers already accepted him as the Son of God. When he was sent by God, he was sent as the Son. So he always has been the Son of God. But hidden, until through the resurrection, he was declared. Siya'y pinatunayan, iniharap sa mundo na tunay ngang siya'y anak ng Diyos. So kung iisipin natin ito, how is this an apologetic significance? Well, this shows that whatever Jesus said of himself, and particularly of the cross, has to be true. Kung siya'y nabuhay mula sa mga patay at wala pang nangyari na ganun, na siya'y nabuhay mula sa mga patay na may malwalhati ng kalagayan, lahat ng sinabi niya tungkol sa krus ay totoo. Ngayon, balik-aralan natin, ano bang nakita natin na kahulugan ng krus ayon sa Panginoong Hesukristo? Well, unang-una, nakita natin, I hope you remember those four key words. Kahit na naginip ka, ibulong-bulong mo yung four key words na yon. Una ay satisfaction. Ito ang sumagot sa katarungan ng Diyos. God is a God of justice. He will not allow any sin unpunished. And yet, through the cross, Jesus satisfied the justice of God. Then it is substitution to the law of God. Tayo ay tumatayo sa harap ng batas ng Diyos. Yan ang suliranin natin. Pero nang si Jesus ay namatay sa krus, hinalilinan niya ang katayuan natin sa batas ng Diyos. Lahat ng pinaiiral ng batas, tinugon ni Jesus. Lahat ng parusa ng batas, inangkin ni Jesus. Siya ang substitution. And then, propitiation of the wrath of God, siya ang pampalubag sa puot ng Diyos. And again, we are talking here of wrath, not in the sense of simple temperamental anger. This is holy wrath, wrath against sin. And again, Jesus appeased the wrath of God by his own acceptance of that wrath on the cross. And finally, redemption from the judgment of God. So lahat ng pinaiiral ng Diyos, dahil siya'y Diyos, katarungan, batas, puot, at kahatulan, lahat ng yun ay bumagsak sa ating Panginoong Hesukristo. Yan ang krus. Now, kung hindi siya nabuhay mula sa mga patay na natili lang siyang patay, walang katotohanan ng satisfaction. Walang katotohanan ang substitution or propitiation or redemption. But all these are true because Jesus rose from the dead. In other words, this is our apologetic a claim. Bakit tayo naniniwala na ganito ang krus na Jesucristo? Sapagkat hindi siya nanatiling patay. Kumbaga siyang unang pumasok sa bilangguan ng kamatayan at lumabas na malaya at buhay. Lahat ng pumasok sa bilangguan ng kamatayan na natiling patay, si Jesus ay nabuhay mula sa mga patay. Kaya anuman ang sinabi niya na ganito ang kanyang kamatayan ay ganoon nga. Dahil nabuhay siya mula sa mga patay. But it's not only about what his cross means, it's what his resurrection made him to be. So merong katotohanan sa kanyang krus, pero may nangyari din kay Jesucristo nang dahil sa kanyang pagkabuhay na muli. At ito ang kanyang kingdom claim. meaning he is now king from the time of the resurrection. Now, wag nating kalituhan ang pagiging soberano niya bilang Diyos. He always was sovereign until he humbled himself. Pero yung kanyang pagiging hari through the resurrection is not his being God. It is his being mediator. Hari siya para sa mga sasampalataya sa kanya. Nagsimula iyon noong resurrection. Yan ang sabi ni Peter sa kanyang sermon on Pentecost na ilulukluk ang Mesiyas sa kanyang luklukan, kagaya ni David. And then verse 31 says, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ. So kailan ilulukluk sa trono ni David ang magiging hari, ang paniniwala ng marami ngayon, doon pa sa hinaharap, tinatawag nilang millennium o sa final state pa, that's not the teaching of the New Testament. The teaching of the New Testament is that Jesus is now enthroned as king. Since when? Since the resurrection. So, maling sabihin na hari na siya mula pa sa walang hanggan at patuloy, nagpatuloy lang. Mali rin sabihin, magiging hari pa lang siya. Naging hari siya mula noong resurrection at meron na siyang kaharian ngayon. Ang mga sumasampalataya, ibinibilang sa kanyang kaharian. Ang mga hindi sumasampalataya, nasa labas ng kanyang kaharian at yan ang misyon ng iglesia. Ibilang sila sa kaharian ni Yesu Cristo. So there is now a present kingdom. Yan ang sinabi ng Philippians 2:9. Matapos siyang dumaan sa kababaan ng krus, verse 9 says, therefore God also has highly exalted him. Now that's kingdom language. Hindi lang sa basta siya itinaas. Ang salitang niya ay tumutukoy sa kanyang pagkakaluklok. Iniluklok siya bilang hari. So isang mahalaga nitong katuruan na idinurog tong ay yung paniniwala natin sa tinatawag na the last days. Kailan ba nangyari o kailan ang last days? Ang popular na paniniwala tungkol sa the last days, kailan ba ang huling mga araw? Popular but wrong, sinasabi nila from the first coming, naghihintay ng terminal generation, ang huling henerasyon, at yun ang inaakala nila na the last days kapag dumating na ang terminal generation. Now, karaniwan, nag-iisip sila ng sinasabing signs of the times. Ano yung mga senyas, ano yung mga hudyat o mga tanda na narito na ang mga huling araw. Eh, diyan nila babangitin pag nagkagyera, ayan, nagkalindol-lindol, o nasa huling araw na tayo. Pag merong kalamidad, sasabihin nila, nasa mga huling araw na tayo. At yan ang idinurugtong nila na darating na ang Panginoon sapagkat nasa huling araw na tayo. Now, that's the popular view, but wrong. What is the biblical concept? The New Testament teaching is that from the first coming is already the period of the last days until the second coming of Jesus Christ. Ay maliwanag yan sa Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 following. In these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. So before speaking by His Son in times past, but from the first coming, particularly in the resurrection, the last days have come. Kaya pag may nagsasabi sa akin na, Pastor, nasa mga huling araw na ba tayo? Lumindol kahapon eh. Kasi sinasabi ko na, oo, nasa mga huling araw na tayo. Pero hindi dahil kahapon ay lumindol, kundi noong pa na nabuhay ang Panginoon mula sa mga patay, iniluklok siya bilang hari, at mula noon na tayo ay nasa mga huling araw na. Ang ibig sabihin yan, ang pinakahinihintay natin ngayon ay ang pagdating ng Panginoon para sa kalubusan ng kanyang mga plano ng katubusan. So, this is the reason why we believe in the present kingdom. This is the significance of the prayer in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sinasabi rito na dumating ang iyong kaharian, ang tinutukoy niyan ay matapos ang misyon ng Panginoon doon sa lupa, doon ang pagdating ng kaharian, at ngayon ay umiiral na ang kaharian ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Of course, that kingdom is not registered in the United Nations. It is not diplomatically recognized. Only believers know so. Mga mananampalataya lamang ang kumikilala na nariyan na ang kaharian ni Hesukristo, na siya na ay nagahari at umiiral ang kanyang paghahari. Kaya ito ang apologetic significance ng pagkabuhay ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo. Ngayon, idugtong natin sa ating buhay ng pananampalataya. What is the significance for your Christian life, for our Christian life, of the resurrection of Christ? Well, unang-una na ay it is the guarantee of our own resurrection. Now, may katotohanan na lahat naman talaga ay mare-resurrect, even unbelievers. But the resurrection of Christ only has significance for the resurrection of believers, because the resurrection of believers alone is conformed to the resurrection of Christ. Ang resurrection ng unbelievers, sabi ni Jesus, John 5:29, ay resurrection for damnation. Ito ay pagkabuhay para hatulan. The resurrection of believers is different. And that includes, that tells us something of our conformity to Christ in our physical resurrection. Itong mahalaga na ang resurrection ni Jesus, sinabi natin last week, ay physical. Hindi lang spiritual and symbolic, but physical. He actually rose from the dead. Kaya yun ang halaga ng empty tomb. Bakit empty? Kasi yung inilagay doon, yun ang bumangon. Yun ang binuhay. Nilwalhati, pero parehong katawan. At yan ang sinabi ng salita ng Diyos. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. So dito, makikita natin ang mga tinatanong ng marami, anong klaseng body mayroon tayo? It will still be your body. Some of you may be very disappointed. Gusto nyo panibago. Hindi, yun pa rin. Yun pa rin, pero luluwalhatiin, kagaya ng katawan ng Panginoong Hesukristo. It's still body, and yet in a glorious state, may mga kakayahan ito na wala noong siya ay bago siya nabuhay na muli. He appeared suddenly in an enclosed room to the disciples. Makikita natin doon ang isang bagay tungkol sa kanyang katawan. Pero, katawan talaga. Sinabi niya sa mga alagad, pati kay Thomas, pinakita niya ang kanyang katawan. And then, he ate and drank when the disciples had their catch sa kanilang back to fishing business. Kumain siya. And so, it had physical attributes, but glorified. At ibig sabihin ng glorified, all earthly corruptions shall be removed. Lahat ng kasiraan, lahat ng nasisira ay tatanggalin. So, anong appearance natin in such a perfect state? Na huwag natin isipin na kapag ikaw ay namatay ng, let's say, nasa katandaan, pag nag-resurrect ka ay nasa katandaan pa rin ang iyong body. It's incorruptible. You will be raised in a physical condition in its perfect state. Ganun din naman kapag namatay na sanggol, hindi siya mare-resurrect na alagaan pa rin sa final state. He will be raised in a perfect, incorruptible state, glorious state. So yun ang masasabi natin tungkol sa katawan na bubuhaying muli. Ang sabi ng salita ng Diyos, gayon din sa pagdating sa lahat ng mga bagay na material and physical, they will be redeemed. Yun ang isang pinapatunayan ng resurrection. Mahalaga ang physical. We do not condemn the physical. There is a tendency, in fact, one early heresy in the church was Gnosticism, which condemned anything physical and material, and there is still a tendency among fundamentalists to condemn what is physical and material. We do not do that. The resurrection of Jesus proves that the physical, the material, nature are all of value. Mahalaga sila. At sa huling araw, sinabi rito na even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. So yan ang final state. It's redemption of the body. The body will not be discarded. So huwag niyong maliitin. Huwag niyong ituring na masama ang mga gawaing pangkatawan. Ito ay nilikha ng Diyos. Now, it also has meaning pagdating sa usapin ng when we deal with the passing of believers because of the resurrection. Yan ang paalala ni Pablo sa mga taga-Tesalonica. We do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. So the hope of the resurrection also determines how believers grieve. Let me say first, believers still grieve the passing of fellow believers. Walang masama sa pagdadalamhati. Many years ago, I think I have told you the story, I visited Cebu and we visited a Pentecostal family whose loved one just died. At ang iniyahanda nila sa kanyang wake ay mga parang banda na ang sabi sa akin ay magsi-celebrate daw sila dahil ang kanilang pumano na kapatid ay nasa langit na, nasa mabuting kalagayan. And I thought that was so artificial. It was so plastic. Because we grieve when a loved one passes. Because it's separation. No matter what we say about the future resurrection, it's still separation. Remember Stephen, Acts 8, nang namatay si Stephen, it was a glorious death when Jesus appeared to him. When he was being stoned, pinabato siya hanggang mamatay. Nagpakita ang Panginoon Jesus sa kanya para i-welcome siya. It was a glorious death. And yet Acts 8 verse 2 tells us that the church made great lamentation for him. So tinangisan siya ng lubos ng iglesia dahil sa kanyang kamatayan. So believers grieve, but may sinabi si Paul, because of the resurrection hope, we should not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. So there is still that hope that defines even the way we grieve. So this is the guarantee of our own resurrection, the guarantee of the resurrection of those who have passed on before us. Now the second significance for believers is sanctification of the Lord's Day. Kung yung matatandaan, ang appearance ni Jesus ay sinadya niya na the first appearances to the disciples in their gathering, not the individual appearances. But when the disciples are gathered, he chose the first day and then the next first day of the week. So you have that in John 20, the same day, meaning the same day that he rose from the dead, and it is the first day of the week, so Sunday. And he appeared. The disciples were assembled. Then, alam natin ang nangyari after 8 days. So after 8 days, counting from the first day is again another first day. That's another Sunday. So the appearances of Jesus to the gathered disciples were calculated to be on the first day of the week. Sunday appearances, and there is significance to that. And from there on, ang naging gatherings ng disciples ay on the first day of the week. There is here a significant contrast or departure from the Jewish Sabbath. The Jewish Sabbath was to remember the conclusion of creation, seventh day. The Christian Sabbath is to remember the inauguration of the new creation. And that is the Lord's Day. And even in the New Testament, ito na ang naging katawagan sa araw na ito, the Lord's Day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And from early on, ito ay vocabulary ng Kristiyano patungkol sa araw ng kanilang pagtitipon, ang araw ng Panginoon. This is the reason why we don't celebrate Easter, and I don't think we should. And yet, people who celebrate Easter are unmindful of and neglectful of Sunday church gathering. Eh, hindi maari yun. Ang pag-alala ng resurrection ay every Lord's Day. Pag tayo ay nag-gather, sinasabi natin sa mundo, buhay ang aming Panginoon. Sinasamba namin ang Panginoon. So this is another implication. The third is the pattern of mission. Mission is by a suffering church in order to bear fruit of life. Ang description ni Paul ng kanyang mission, hindi na natin babasahin, pero tingnan nyo ang mga pinocontrast niya na dying and then life. Death, life. Death is working in us, but life in you. That's the pattern of Christian mission. Just as Jesus had to undergo suffering and death and then rose from the dead, that's how mission is to be undertaken. It is preparedness to suffer and die for Jesus, and yet through that ay merong fruitfulness for mission. And finally, this is our motive for Christian perseverance. Why should we persevere? Well, because of the hope of the resurrection. Remember Jesus telling his disciples, nung isusugo niya sa kanilang mission sa Israel pa lang, ang sabi niya, Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who kill the body, but is not able to kill the soul. And pinapakita niya ro na kung ang inyong pagtitiis sa pananampalataya ay mga hulugan na kayo'y humarap sa kamatayan, gawin ninyo. Anong pag-asa na haharap ka sa kamatayan ay dahil sa pag-asa ng resurrection. This has defined the courage of martyrs facing fire and axe and drowning and every other form of punishment is because of their resurrection. I hope this is a memory verse for all of us. My beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And as you know, this is the conclusion of the resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. Yan ang conclusion. Magpaka-tiis tayo sa ating pananampalataya. This is the hope of fruitfulness in all our labor. Hindi walang saysay. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. So some implications of this. Una ay physical frailty is not to retreat from faithfulness. The physical frailty because of aging, illness, o ano pa mang mga karupukang pangkatawan, nakakaranas tayo niyan, huwag nating isipin na pwede na ako mag-lie low sa katapatang Kristiyano. Hindi dapat ganoon ang ating diwa. This is the tombstone of Fanny Crosby. She was on Fanny to many. And the words written, she has done what she could. Very simple. What's the significance? Fanny Crosby, as you know, is the hymnist who composed more than 1,000 hymns. Many of them we still sing. She lived to be 95 years old. Yet she was blind from childhood. Bulag siya mula pagkabata, pero hindi yun pumigil sa kanya na maging lingkod ng Panginoon hanggang sa kanyang katandaan. And she was not the kind of the usual reputation for old maids na gloomy and cranky. You will see it in her hymns. To God be the glory, great things He has done. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Praise Him, praise Him. These are the hymns of a woman who lived through old age and a very happy life because of her Lord. So yan ang hangarin natin para sa ating sarili. Yan ang pagtanggap ng ating karupukan, pagtanggap ng ating mga limitasyon, our limitations, and the final termination of life. We faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So every day you look at yourself on the mirror, and the mirror, though speechless, is telling you are perishing, yet be able to respond, the inward man is being renewed day by day. So you are perishing physically, but there is no limitation to what a Christian can attain in holiness. So this is our belief and confidence in the final victory over death. Death is not good. May mga nagro-romanticize ng death among Christians, and that is wrong. Death is called an enemy. It is right for the Christian to cringe from death and to avoid it either medically or by other means. But when death does come, and it will come, tandaan natin ang final victory is because Jesus rose from the dead. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Nasaan ang kamandag ng kamatayan? Ito ay dinaig ng ating Panginoong Hesu Kristo. So my final challenge is, as we think of the meaning of the resurrection of Jesus, this is true. We saw this as historical. Now this is its meaning. We are worshiping, we are following a living Savior. And it should be the Christian's daily quest to glory in the resurrection and to know the power of that resurrection in his life. This is Paul's own resolve, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. This is our daily challenge, that you are not dealing with a mere doctrine, least of all a Savior still dead. You are dealing day by day with a living Savior, and it is yours to know the power of His resurrection. Any question? Any question or thoughts you'd like to share? Question. Any sign of life here?
Pastor, ano po, napakaganda po talaga ng truth ng cross ni Christ at saka yung pong kanyang resurrection. Yung question ko po, kasi kanina po na banggit niyo po yung pag-appear po ng Panginoon sa mga disciples. So yung una po, dun sa John 20, nang nag-appear po siya kay Mary, hindi po siya nakilala agad ni Mary, kasi sabi niyo po ay the same body, the same din po yung tayo. Tapos nun pong first day na, nung nandun nga po yung mga disciples at nag-gathered, sinabi po ng Panginoon sa kanilang, peace be with you. Pero hindi pa rin siya agad nakilala. Noon lang pong inopen niya yung kanyang, ipinakita niya yung kanyang kamay. Saka lang po siya nakilala nung, kanya, nung mga disciples. And then ganun din po kay Thomas. And then noon pong sa shore naman, doon po sa Sea of Tiberias, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Noon lang pong nagcast sila and then marami silang nakuhang fish. Noon lang po sinabi ni Peter na it is the Lord. So ano po kaya yung naging pagbabago? So ilang beses po nilang nakita ang Panginoon, pero tuwing makikita nila, hindi agad po nila nare-recognize na siya yon, unless po na meron siyang ipakitang proof na it was Jesus. So ano po kaya yung sa atin naman, kung magkakakilanlan po ba tayo? Kasi parang siya, hindi agad siya nakilala unless na meron pong something na siya pinrove na it is himself or it was himself.
Well, that's a good observation. Totoo yun na hindi siya agad nakilala. Even on the by the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, remember na kausap na nila siya, ay hindi siya nakikilala until they came to the house and he began to break bread. And that's when they realized it was Jesus and he disappeared. So, anong ma-infer natin doon? There were changes physically. There were physical changes on the body of Jesus so that it was not immediately recognizable, similar doon sa kanyang appearance before he died and rose again. So, masasabi natin ganun din ang ating katawan. Kasi nga, sinabi ng 1 Corinthians 15, all corruption will put on incorruption, all mortal put on immortality, so which means whatever is corrupt and mortal in our body will be changed. So there will be changes. Eh, kung sa katawan natin, marami tayong corruption. I'm talking of physical corruption. Physical corruption and then the signs of mortality, they will all be changed. So definitely, there were changes in our Lord's appearance. And there will be changes in our physical appearance as well. So, bakit sa breaking of bread siya nakilala ng disciples at sa casting of nets siya nakilala ng mga nagpi-fishing na disciples? Well, my own conjecture ay kilala yung habit niya, yung kanyang manner of breaking bread, kilala yung manner niya ng fishing, at kung makita yun, isa ang naisip nila, it's Jesus. And then, of course, in the case of Thomas, it was his signs of crucifixion that he retained. I believe that was deliberate dahil kung mare-retain talaga lahat ng wounds niya, alam natin, bugbog sarado siya. Pero walang na-retain sa mga yon kundi the nail signs on the hands and feet, I believe, to remind eternally the disciples of what it took for us to be redeemed. But physically, it shows that there will be changes. So, nakakahinga na yung iba sa inyo na salamat naman at may mababago sa aking katawan. Babaguhin lahat ng kasiraan. But we will be able to know each other. Pero sa final state ay wala nang sisihan. Ikaw yung nagsalita sa akin ng masama nung tayo nasa iglesia pa doon sa Los Baños. Wala nang ganun because all things, sabi ng Panginoon, will be wiped away. All sins, all tears, everything that will make life miserable will be taken away at the final state. So there will be none of those things. Other thoughts? Questions? Ben?
Pastor, about selected memories. In heaven, only the good memories will retain, but the bad memories
won't. Not the bad memories, not the sinful memories. everything in the final state. And by the way, iwasan natin sabihin lang natin in heaven, when we talk of the post-resurrection state, it's the final state. And 2 Peter 3, Revelation 20 make clear that it's heaven and earth. So it's not just heaven. In the intermediate state, after we die, if we are righteous, we are in heaven. But in the final state, post-resurrection, we talk final state, not just heaven. So in the final state, there will be memories, but I believe all that will be retained are good memories. Yung mga sinful that provoke sin will not be retained. Lahat ng mga sinabi sa Revelation 20, everything that is sinful is outside. Wala na, hindi natin dadalhin yun sa huling kalagayan. Other questions? Joshua.
Isa lang pong small observation dun sa 8 days later po, yung verse na yun, 8 days later, na sinabi dun na yung doors were locked and shut, but still nakapasok si ang Panginoong Hesukristo. And I think some people use that as an argument against the physical body ng Panginoong Hesukristo.
No, there's no argument there against the physical body. It shows that there are changes in the physical body. It is no longer limited by the opaqueness of materials. So kaya niyang lusutan iyon. Remember, these are artificial works of man, and they no longer will limit man. But that does not make the physical resurrected body as limitless. It is not infinite. But there are capacities not possible before the resurrection. But it's still physical. Kaya nga, in Luke 24, kumain siya. Ang sinabi ron, inihaw pa yung kanyang kinain. Mamaya may inihaw tayong kakainin. Pero hindi rin yung argument na ang pinakamalapit sa Panginoong Hesukristong kainin na inihaw. Yun ang point na huwag tayong gagawa ng conclusion out of simple narrative observations. So there's a narrative observation na lumitaw siya while all doors are shut. We do not make the conclusion he is not physical body. Ike.
Pastor, di ba merong new heaven and new earth? And then I think I remember sinasabi nyo, magagawa pa rin natin yung current vocation na ginagawa natin dito ngayon. Yung bang capabilities natin kaya ay ma-enhance or limited pa rin, or paano kaya natin gagawin yung ating work in the new earth, in the new environment na with a glorified body?
Again, my principle of answering yung mga questions pertaining to the final state is to say there will be nothing evil in the final state and all good things will be retained and enhanced. So kung mabuting bagay na naranasan natin dito sa mundo sa ating mga, let's say, gifts, hindi ibig sabihin na wala na yung gifts, kundi dahil even in the final state, there will be labor. It's one of the words used, by the way, for those in the final state. At sinabi rin ng Panginoon, those who He will welcome as good and faithful servant, they will be assigned certain lots of labor. So, huwag niyong isipin ang final state ay unending worship service. Hindi po, may trabaho doon. At yung trabaho nga natin doon, yung kalagayan natin doon, will be reflective of what we have been like in our faithfulness or lack of it on earth. Yan ang tinatawag na degrees of blessedness. Kung sa mga parurusahan, merong degrees of torment, sa mga pagpapalain, meron ding degrees of blessedness. So maring mataas ang kalagayan mo dito sa lupa, pagdating sa final state, maaring ilagay ka sa mas kalagayang maglilingkod sa iba. There will be some reversals. Ben?
Still interested in the good memories. Pastor, how do you define good memories na mariretain?
Good?
Memories. Good. That will be retained.
Memories. Memories that provoke worship of God and service to fellow men. Not provocative of sin. Anything provocative of sin or sinful will be done away with. Kasi ito na yung confirmed state. Wala nang fall in the final state. Adam was sinless but changeable during the period he was under covenant. And he changed. Wala nang ganun sa final state. There will be no change from being righteous to falling into sin. So that means anything leading to sin will be done away with. And that includes memories. Ngayon, kung talaga may gusto kang hawakang memory, makipag-negotiate ka sa Panginoon. Pwede bang i-retain ko ang memory na to? But I can guarantee you, anything that yields to sin will be done away with. Odi.
Pastor, ano po yung nangyari nung in between the death of Christ and His resurrection? Kasi may narinig ako na nag-pastor na nag-preach, Baptist pastor din to, na nag-descend siya sa Sheol, nangaral siya ron, and then dinala niya yung mga believers sa...
Yes, this doctrine of Christ's descent into hell na tinatawag ay... report yata ni Ben yun. because of the Apostles' Creed. Now, yung Apostles' Creed, which was about the 2nd or 3rd century, hindi ito apostles talaga. Pero it's one of the earliest, probably the earliest written confession of faith. May binanggit doon, siguro memorize pa ng iba sa inyo, he descended into hell. Now, some have taken that to mean the hell of torment and preach to those who are in hell. Well, that's not possible. That is a misinterpretation of 2 Peter 2:4 and 1 Peter 3:8. Ang nasaan ang Panginoon during that period between death and resurrection? Ang tamang sagot niya ay sinabi sa Hebrews na he offered himself in the Holy of Holies. So I believe he went to heaven to offer his sacrifice before the presence of the Father, as would a priest do in the temple. During the Day of Atonement, the high priest will present the sacrifice to the Holy of Holies. And that's what we are told in Hebrews happened. So it's not the real hell of torment. Hell is translation of Sheol, which is the place of the dead in Hebrews, or in Hebrew, and Hades in Greek. Hindi ito yung hell torment, kundi hell place of the dead, realm of the dead. So it simply is saying he died, but he did not preach to the people in hell with probability of their being saved. It's a misinterpretation of two verses in Peter. Jean.
Question po ito ni Tita Mina last time na sabi niya sa akin, when tinanong niya after our lesson last Sunday, yung when Jesus resurrected, according to the narratives, may mga dead din who resurrected. Her question was, whether they physically resurrected and where did they go? Did they die again?
Yes, there is only one text on that, Matthew 27:51-52, that some of those who have died rose again as a result of his resurrection. I believe that is showing the token of the power of His resurrection, what it can do. Anong kayang gawin ng resurrection ni Jesus? At sila ay nabuhay, nagpakita pang araw. At pagkatapos, sinabi roon na when Jesus ascended, that's when they went to paradise or to heaven. So, this is a token, parang pauna na patikim ng gagawin ng pagkabuhay ni Jesus mula sa mga patay. So, hindi sinasabi rito, and some have taken this again with a sweeping conclusion, all Old Testament saints were risen from the dead. That's not what it says. It simply says that some of those who have died have been risen from the dead, showed themselves, and then when Jesus ascended, that's when they went to paradise or to heaven. And I believe that is only to signify a token of the power of Jesus' resurrection. Last thoughts. Ian.
Pastor, in Ephesians 4:8, nagpapertain po ba yun sa resurrection? Sabi, therefore it says, when He ascended on high, He led a host of captives and He gave gifts to men.
Kasama yung resurrection doon, pero hanggang doon sa ascension, kasi may binanggit yan na He went to the lowest, to the abyss, which is His humiliation, and then in His exaltation, the exaltation part of Jesus' ministry includes from the resurrection to the ascension, because the ascension means that's the time na siya iniluklok sa trono bilang hari, and that's the time that He distributed His gifts to the church. So it's part of His exaltation. So including the resurrection. If we had time, there are many more significant implications of the resurrection. Kasama na rin, of course, the judgment itself. Jesus will judge. And there will be the final corrections. Itong isang bagay na hindi masagot ng mga ayaw maniwala sa mga ganyan. Nangangahulugan ba na lahat ng mga walang katarungang nangyari sa mundo, mga kriminal na nakatakas sa katarungan ng batas ay wala ng katarungan sa kanila? Ang sagot natin bilang mga Kristiyano, there will be justice both in punishing the wicked, even those who have escaped the bar of law, because Jesus rose from the dead. Remember Acts 17:31, God has appointed a day that He will judge, and He gave proof by raising Him from the dead. So the resurrection of Jesus also answers questions like injustices, wickedness in this world, and so many things that are unanswered, the resurrection will answer one day. So let's hold fast to these two points of our Christian faith, ang dalawang paanan na tinitindigan ng ating pananampalataya. Huwag nating isuko, ito ang nagpapaging Kristiyano sa bawat isa. Kung wala ka pang pananampalataya, ito ang iyong dapat lapitan sa Panginoong Hesukristo. Siya na namatay sa krus at nabuhay mula sa mga patay, kaya siya ang Panginoon at tagapagligtas. Tayo manalangin. Dakila naming Diyos at Ama ng biyaya, nagpapasalamat kami sa mga napag-aralan namin sa maikling serye na ito na tumitingin sa batayan ng aming pananampalataya, ang kamatayan ng Panginoong Hesukristo sa krus at ang kanyang pagkabuhay mula sa mga patay. At sa mga pinag-aralan namin ngayong umaga, nawa nga ay magpatibay ito sa aming paniniwalang Kristiyano. This is the ultimate defense of the Christian faith, that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, did not remain dead. He rose from the dead. And by rising from the dead, He gave proof to all that He has claimed He is and He did on the cross, that it is indeed satisfaction of your justice. It is substitution to your law. It is propitiation of your wrath, and it is redemption from your judgment. And we ask, Lord, that we may cling to this and to your resurrection. Ito rin ang nagpapatunay ng naggagarantiya ng aming darating na pagkabuhay na muli, dumaan man kami sa karupukan ng aming katawan hanggang sa kamatayan. Hindi kami mawawala ng pag-asa sa halip. Kami ay magpapatuloy sa aming pagtitiis at paglilingkod sa iyo sapagkat may bunga sa bawat nagtitiis. Kaya panalangin namin, Panginoon, na panghawakan namin ang katotohanan ito sa gitna ng aming mga kahinaan at karupukan. Naniniwala kami na may bunga sa darating na pagkabuhay na muli. Sa iyo namin ipinagkakatiwala ang lahat ng ito sa pangalan ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Amen.